For federal agencies, the upcoming budget season might look something like the Bermuda Triangle. Some bureaus may disappear, never to be seen again. Agencies are told to budget according to the shrinkage and consolidation envisioned by the Trump administration, the plans for which are due in less than a month. Agency managers aren't the only ones concerned. For how contractors see it, we turn to David Berteau, president and CEO of the Professional Services Council. And Dave, have you ever seen the conditions so complicated for something as basic as planning what's going to happen in 6 months?
Well, Tom, you've raised the right question. Every administration comes in with the idea that they're going to align their priorities with the budget resources, with the organization structure, with the workforce. It's always a question of can you pull it off, and I think that's the issue that's been raised here. Contractors are not on the org chart in any organization, but as you well know, and your listeners know, contractors play such a vital role in every government mission, every government activity. So one of our questions is, how does the OMB process incorporate that in these reorganization plans and in aligning those organization plans with the budget?
Review for us what agencies are supposed to be doing now that they have to report to the OMB by, I think, the end of June.
That's right. So the executive order signed by the president, the Comprehensive Plan for Reorganizing the Executive Branch, that's a noble title, was issued in March, and then OMB issued supplemental guidance in April. That supplemental guidance actually focuses, in addition to reorganizing, on reducing the federal workforce. So agencies owe to OMB by the end of June their initial plans, their outline of their plan for that reorganization. They then owe to the OMB director the final plans in September. That would be coinciding with and presumably would have to be representative of their budget submissions for FY19. In September. Those are due to OMB as well. So you'd be having a reorganization plan and a budget aligned with that. That budget, of course, has to be at the level that OMB is projecting, including the cuts that were projected in the FY18 budget that was submitted back at the end of May to Congress. So it's really quite a combination of circumstances that have to be aligned. In addition, there's a public suggestion process going on right now that actually ends June the 12th. I don't know, Tom, and you might want to post it on your website, the link to this, because it's an open website, open to the general public. Hundreds of thousands of submissions have already been put in, entries have already been put into it. And it starts with a pull-down menu that says, which agencies would you like to eliminate? And then there's a menu of agencies you can click on. And then there's a sub-menu of sub-agencies you'd like to eliminate. PSC believes that that we need to have input into this process as well to put a marker down on the legitimate things that you ought to consider as part of this, not just eliminating agencies, but actually aligning workload and workforce and resources together to accomplish the government's mission.
And the backdrop to all of this is that Congress hasn't even begun debating the budget. They've criticized it from all sides, but there's no real budget bill debates going on for 2018.
That's
so
true.
We could be
the
running into
you always have is you're putting together next year's budget before you know what this year's budget's going to be.
And so there could be a big mismatch for 2018 plans, let alone 2019, with what Congress actually ends up approving.
I think for some agencies that mismatch is not only guaranteed, it will be substantial. You're right.
So therefore,
so what do we do about that? What we have to do ultimately, the administration has a strong emphasis on reducing the workforce. PSC has never advocated reducing workforce just for the sake of reduction, but has always believed that what we need to do in the federal government is align the workload with the capacity and the capability. And of course, contractors provide so much of that capacity and capability that that has to be taken into account as part of the reorganization plans and as part of the budget. And, we could go into all the things that contractors can do that better than the government, flexibility, access to skills that the government can't hire, the flexibility of moving people back and forth, the agility of turning on and off and scaling up and down, the responsiveness, the access to outside technology, all of those are advantages that contractors bring. That's got to be incorporated into this process as well.
We're speaking with David Berteau, president and CEO of the Professional Services Council. And so there's a real dilemma for contractors and contracting officers because of this uncertainty. And yet there are many new and thriving professional services contract vehicles that agencies can use to get things done, and like Alliant, which is about to be re-awarded in the next iteration. but that's done billions and billions and billions worth of business. So the question is, how do you know what is a legitimate contract to safely enter into when you don't know what the budget's going to be?
We saw that last week with the first announcement, and then 2 days later, the withdrawal of substantial contract opportunities in the VA because of, quote, a change in priorities. And so I think that vulnerability is quite high there. On the other hand, you know, one of the remarkable things about American governance is most people in the government do know what their job is. They wake up in the morning getting ready to do it, and those that need contractors and contractor support are proceeding regularly, normal ways with solicitations and evaluations and awards and tasks. There are places where it's slowed down a little bit. I expect them to speed up a little bit here because they got a good chunk of money in the FY17 appropriations at the end of April, and much of that money has to be obligated before the end of September. So they're at a hard pace to make sure that the money's obligated in ways that support missions and activities. So there's quite a dynamic uncertainty. I think we've compiled lists of agencies canceling contracts, withdrawing contracts, and I don't have a baseline to say that it's abnormal, but it is certainly higher than we would like it to be. And secondly, we've looked at the obligation rates of contracts in FY17 so far, and this is preliminary data subject to revisions by the government, but initial indications are that contract obligations in the first 6 months of this fiscal year compared to the same first 6 months of the last fiscal year are actually up, and that's probably because there's a lot of work to be done, and the contracting officers are pursuing that work.
It sounds like people are making hay while the sun is shining, or whatever the expression is, because they do have this little bit of a budget boost, as you say, and there is something of a budget for 2017. And if it's not going to be something new for the purposes of a continuing resolution in a couple of months, then they've got to get it underway now, contractors
right.
And the agencies.
That's absolutely true, and I think your listeners have heard a number of your speakers over the last few days commenting that a continuing resolution certainly appears to be likely here. It's a better option than a shutdown in many cases. There's another key question, though, Tom, that I'd like to pose here that the executive order and the OMB memo are relatively silent on, and that's the question of the actual cost of government. You know, there's a myth out there that contractors are more expensive, but that myth is perpetuated basically because nobody knows the real fully burdened cost of the government. And in fact, I would argue from my experience both inside and outside of government that the government deliberately ignores the opportunity to actually create a fully burdened cost because they don't want to know the answer. The truth is it varies. Sometimes contractors are more expensive. Sometimes contractors are less expensive. And we need to know the true value of the work being done in order to be able to evaluate that. So that's an element of the comprehensive plan that needs to be added, I think.
And not to raise the red flag in front of the charging bull, but I haven't seen anything from the Trump administration that would revive A76 competitions, which in theory are supposed to get at that fully loaded cost of government, even if the government is able to handicap vendors in that process.
Yeah, you're right. There hasn't been anything publicly issued, but we have had a number of discussions about both the strengths and weaknesses of that process, the concept of legitimate public-private competition where the public sector and the private sector both have capability is a very valid way of approaching how to get value for the money for the taxpayers. The process itself has a number of handicaps in it. I used to execute that process inside the government and competed for it from outside the government. There are plenty of ways you could improve that process, but all of those conversations are taking place right now at much lower levels, and I don't anticipate anything in today or tomorrow coming out of the federal government on that.
Well, Mama said there'd be days like this. David Berteau is president and CEO of the Professional Services Council. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Tom. Look forward to the continuing conversation.
Find a link to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.